did anyone see Oliver in the pictures? And is Oliver Butcher here? Yeah, please stand, Oliver. I think you're involved with the fire service in Poynton now. Where are you? No? Maybe he stood already somewhere. Thank you very much for the pictures, and we'll see some more as we take our turn to file out to the war memorial afterwards. Now, this year, Poynton has twinned with a village in France called Aibe. Twinning is a grassroots way of promoting international understanding, one of the purposes of which is the hope of making future war less likely. Now, the people of Aibe were keen to twin with us, partly because of a generous gift by the people of Stockport at the end of World War I. The German army had invaded France through Belgium. Aibe was on the route. And the Germans decided to make an example of Aibe to warn the local populations. So for 3 or 4 days, they shelled the village. 60 people lost their lives, and the buildings were nearly all damaged or destroyed. And when Stockport people heard of the atrocity, they sent a large gift of money to help the people of Aibe rebuild after the war. Well, one of the tragedies of wars is the large-scale destruction of buildings, which adds to people's sense of devastation and makes it harder to get back on their feet afterwards. Buildings in Aleppo, Syria, have been pulverized by shelling and bombing. Those that could have fled to other countries for refuge, the old people, are still there, huddled in the apartments that are left standing. Ancient buildings in Palmyra, Syria, have been destroyed in a feeble attempt to rewrite history. IS militants want people to believe that good civilization really only started when the Muslim armies invaded in the 7th century AD, so they wipe out evidence of any earlier human flourishing. Christian churches and homes have been destroyed in Mosul, Iraq. Before IS took over, Christian people in Mosul, many of them, owned 40% of the property. When the persecution started, and indeed probably significantly when a 5-year-old boy was sliced in half in public for refusing to renounce his Christian faith, most of the Christians left in a hurry. I wonder how many of their churches and homes will be there if they go back. Jesus was talking about buildings being wrecked when he and his disciples were in Jerusalem in our Bible reading, Luke chapter 21, verse 5 and following. Now the other people with him were just being like tourists in Jerusalem for the big religious festivals. But Jesus recognized that conflict was coming, verse 5. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." I sometimes find myself in conversations about the world we live in, and people say to me, "How can you believe in God when there are wars and earthquakes and famines?" And I try to say, Jesus said there would be wars and earthquakes and famines. He said, it's part of the age we live in. So the tragedy of wars in this age and major disasters actually helps me to believe in Jesus. He's got it right, so I believe in him. In verse 9, we see Jesus saying this, "When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. So the tragedy of wars in this age and major disasters actually helps me believe in Jesus. He's got it right. I believe him. How about you? The people I don't believe are those who say that humankind is evolving into a more peaceful and tolerant and intelligent and sensible species. Because that sort of humanism sounds nice, but really, it's unrealistic, wishful thinking. Jesus was realistic about this world. So I want to work for peace like Jesus did, and at the same time, I'm going to be ready for the opposite, because Jesus warned about war and destruction and earthquakes and famines. Jesus was the Prince of Peace, so I want to be like him and get behind the hard-working, realistic peacemakers in our world who do such a good job. But at the same time, I also want to get behind the well-disciplined armed forces and security forces who we also need to do a good job. Because Jesus says, until he returns as Savior and Judge, wars will continue to be a big part of the life of this world. That's what Jesus says here in Luke 21. And I believe him. Jesus also says in this passage, it's often the innocent who lose out in conflict. He warns his followers that for no good reason they will be persecuted. Verse 12. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you and hand you over. It's often the innocent who get hurt in this world. Jesus also warned his followers of betrayal for no good reason from those who ought to be those to help us. Verse 16. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And Jesus told them the quality they needed, above all, was endurance. By your endurance, verse 19, you will gain your souls. Jesus is right, isn't he? In Mark's Gospel, when Mark is reporting the same speech of Jesus, Jesus says, think of it all like this. Wars, earthquakes, famines, persecutions, it's like the beginning of birth pangs. So if you're a pregnant mother, then the beginning of birth pangs is when the pain starts to become unbearable. And the beginning of birth pangs is tough and hopeful at the same time. Tough because you know the baby is coming and that it will be one of the most painful things. But hopeful too, because you know new life is on the way. And so it's worth going through the pain. And so Jesus is saying the same about all this difficult stuff on earth. If we follow him, then facing the struggles of war and terror in this age, it's tough and full of hope. Jesus himself was treated abysmally by the military authorities of Rome, by the religious leaders in Jerusalem. He knew unfair suffering and necessary perseverance were part of what's needed on this earth. Needed if we are to receive that new life which Jesus talked of and which Jesus made possible for all who believe him made possible by his own self-sacrifice on the cross. So this day, above all others, this day, above all others, we salute those who serve well in the tough places. Thank you. We honour those who fight honourably. Thank you. We respect deeply all who have experienced the unjust destruction of violence. Thank you. And we look to the Saviour of the world, who has been there too. Thank you, Lord. Amen.